Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today I want to share about the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, and how that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and how what the Word says about that, and how Jesus Christ walked as an example. He was the righteous man, right? The example of righteousness in the flesh, basically. And so I want to cover some scriptures on that, and let's see where it takes us, all right? Let's go to, let's see a little bit about Jesus Christ, how he thought about his Father, his relationship with his Father. So look at John 5:19. Now this was a little, the context, little, if you read a little before this, Jesus healed a man on the wrong day of the week, right? So he got in a little trouble with the Jewish the leaders of the synagogue. So, but we're picking up in verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also the Son doeth. So he's the Father. Jesus Christ always did the will of the Father. We're going to read on here. For the Father loveth the Son. That's a key point. Jesus knew his Father loved him. Right? This all translates to us. We'll see later on. And the Father showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show greater works than these, the healing, like it was showing earlier on here, that ye may marvel. What I put in here, it really hit me here. So what he's telling you, like he had this individual was healed of, he was lame, and Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk on the Sabbath. So he's saying, you're going to, right here, you are going to, the Father will show you greater works than these that you may marvel. Basically saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Right? Because after this, Jesus Christ, he walked on water, he raised the dead, he calmed the seas, you know, and yada, 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 right? You can go through this whole, the whole book, right? So he hadn't seen nothing yet, but he did it by walking with the Father. And then look at verse 21. Now let's go to 26. Let's move down to 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he hath given to his Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ, I underline a couple points here. So he loved, Jesus Christ knew his Father loved him. He gave him authority. And he knew he can do nothing but himself. He had complete, unwavering confidence in his Father. What his Father said, he did. And look at verse 30. And I can do, he reiterates this, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that hath sent me. So he had to do something. He had to seek his Father's will. It just didn't come. It doesn't come, you know, just naturally. And as we saw in the life of Jesus Christ when he was 12 years old, right? He must have studied somewhat because he was in the temple questioning the doctors of the law and all that, right? And so he was learning who he was. He built that relationship with his Father. And when he was 30, God said, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And then, you know, after that, he started out on his ministry. Now we're going to look at a record here of Lazarus. And look at John 11. I want to point some things out how. So Jesus Christ was the righteousness of God, and you're going to see how a righteous man conducts himself, say, in situations. And from this record of Lazarus, you're going to see Jesus Christ was not moved by the situations or circumstances or people's unbelief or anything exterior other than the Word of God. That's what he was moved on. He was focused on. In Psalm 112, it says, my heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's a righteous man. fixed, trusting in the Lord. That's a characteristic of a righteous man. So let's look at chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Those two around here, a lot in the Word of God here. And it was Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet and with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So Jesus got some word, outside information, that you have someone you love is sick. A natural reaction would be, sometimes we just get up, get in our cars, let's go, what can we do? Right? Let's see what he did. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is nigh unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, he heard before that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place. So he didn't get up and run. So remember, he always did the will of the Father, right? So he's walking with God. You know, he had that connection with his Father, and he stood on the Word. His heart was fixed. Even though that could be a real pull on your five senses and emotions, that somebody you love is sick, people are coming to you, imploring you to come help them, it wasn't the time to move. So that's what I want to point out there. So then verse 7. Then after, he saith to his disciples, let us go to Jerusalem. So after the 2 days, in verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee there, and you're going there? So there's another outside information. Could be built fear and unbelief. Hey, look, they're after you there. You really want to go there? But Jesus Christ said, answered, are there not 12 hours in day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh at night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. He had light in him, the light of God's word. He was walking by the word of God, right? He was walking by the Spirit, not the flesh here. And verse 11, these things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of his sleep. Now the disciples didn't really pick up on this. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleep, he does well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he was spoken of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus had to clarify it at verse 14. That Jesus said unto him, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes, look at this, that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe, nevertheless let us go. See that he even knew that the intent was for them to learn and to believe on him. And then look at, here's our buddy Thomas here. Then said Thomas, which is also called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him, right? So there's another, just think of the support he's getting right here, right? You know, he's walking with God, and he's had all this adverse information coming to him. But his heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord, right? Look at verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he laid in the grave 4 days, right? That's a long time. Could be another negative situation. Well, it is a negative situation, like 4 days. You're thinking, uh-oh. But he still kept walking here. Now, verse 18. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs. I think it says about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and to Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard... Boy, Martha got the phone call. See, as soon as she heard, somebody notified her. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary still stayed in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, if thou been here, my brother not have died. That's another positive one. It's like a little, could be lay a guilt trip on him if he didn't know who he was. But look, she even came up, verse 22. But I know, even now, whatsoever you ask God, he will give it to you. Good principle, good characteristic of a righteous man. If you ask of God according to his will, whatever you ask, he hears it, and you're going to receive what he hears, because you're asking according to his will. So she knew Jesus Christ, if he asks, he's going to get it. He's the Son of God. He didn't have to sit there and pray for 5 hours, and he didn't have to try to believe. He just did the will of God. You're going to see it out throughout the Gospels. I don't think it says one place, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that Jesus actually believed. He walked in believing. I don't think it says he's the author and finisher of faith in Hebrews, but I don't think it said Jesus believed. But if it is, tell me. Because he did believe. He just acted. You could see his believing in action here. But maybe I'm wrong if you can look that up. But so then Martha said unto him, okay, I know he shall rise again. Oh, Jesus said, verse 23, the brother shall rise again. I know he shall rise again at the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yea, Lord, I believe thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. And when he had said so, she went her way and called Mary. So now she gets Mary. The master has come and called for thee. As soon as Mary heard, she rose and came out. Now look at this, comes out. Now, verse 3. Now Jesus was not yet into the place, into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. So he's still outside the town. And Jesus and the Jews which were in the house with her, Mary, and comforted her, when they saw Mary rise up, they went after her. So now you have the whole town coming out. Like, what's going on? There's a commotion going on. And they said, she goeth under the grave to weep. Then verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him, fell down at his feet, and she laid the same thing on him that Martha did. If thou hast been here, my brother not have died. Another try to implying a guilt trip on him. You had something to do with this, but you didn't make it, and now, you know, he's dead. So that's another obstacle. So we, in life, we're walking, when we walk on the Word of God, we're going to have all the currents are always flowing against the Word of the world, right? So but that's where you got to be fixed on the Word. As always says, stand in the Word, no matter what, you know, and don't go by what you see, smell, hear, taste, or touch. Not by what the circumstances, not what your mother says, your preacher says, everybody else. It's what the Word says, right? So it's getting that a place of fixing our hearts and minds on the Word of God. And Jesus Christ was a tremendous example, especially in this record here now. All this information, all these situations came up, were against him, basically. He could have just said, oh, hell with this, I'm done. You know, these people are like, you know. But he didn't. See, he walked in love, right? He walked in love. He kept his mouth shut in that vein. So now let's go. In verse 34, it says, okay, and he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, come and see. And Jesus wept. See, he loved him. He lived, but he also knew his father that he was going to get him up. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. In verse 37. Now here's another one. And some of them said, could not this man which hath opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? See, have caused. So now that's another, it's a real, he causes death basically. He was here, he died. If he was here, I mean, if he wasn't here, he died. If he was here, he would not have died. So it's his fault, basically. So Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself. I would be groaning, too, after hearing all that. Cometh to the grave, and it was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus says, take away the stone. Here's another one. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. He's dead 4 days. Now, there's another negative. Like, they want Jesus to take care of the situation, but now he's saying, hey, okay, I'm trying to take care of it. And they're saying, he stinks, he's dead, like, don't, you know, we don't want to go there. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God. Then he took away the stone from the place where it was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, this is the key two verses, 41 and 42. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. He walked by the word of God through all this stuff. And verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Thou hearest me always. He hears the righteous man always. He hears our prayers always. His ears are always open to the righteous, it says in Psalm, right? Because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that thou mayest believe that thou hast sent me. And then he told Lazarus, get up, and he got up. I don't want to go anymore there. But the key here is, I made a couple notes in here, it says, I know. What did he know? It says that God always hears him. Always. And always means at all times. When you're walking with God, when you're praying according to his word, he always hears you at all times. So just rebuke any doubts that come in your mind. If you have the word of God in your mind, that's what you believe. That's what you walk on and you stand on until you hear something different. Let's turn to Isaiah 32:17. Okay, let's go. See, it says in Isaiah 32, chapter 32, verse 17, says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." See, when we are made the righteousness of God, we have peace with God, it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans. You know, there's no more separation. We're at one with Him. The word for peace is, I think, root word is shalom. Like nothing, you can think of it as nothing broken, nothing missing. It's wholeness. You're together with God. There's no... You don't have a sense that that God is not for you. So that's your mindset, your consciousness of your righteousness. You know, unrighteousness is sin conscious, right? Where you're guilty, you can't approach God, you're inferior to God. You know, you saw the Israelites when Moses was getting the law from the mountain that they were afraid that they told because they couldn't approach righteousness because they were unrighteous. God made us righteousness of God God in Christ Jesus. So we have peace with God. We're on the same page with Him, and He's on the same page with us. We don't have to worry about God's going to hit us or, you know, punish us. He's with us. He's for us. Nobody's against us. And what I want to focus on, though, is, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. The word assurance is confidence. We saw Jesus Christ. He's a righteous man. He had unwavering confidence toward God because he knew who he was and he believed it. And we're going to see as we look here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Everybody's familiar with this verse, but 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, when you're born again, you are a new creation." It says creature or creation. "Old things are passed away, because all things become new." So you're a new creation. And what is that creation? Verse 21, "For God, He hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin." Why? "That we might be made," we're made the righteousness of God. By grace, it says in Romans, right? We receive the gift of righteousness. It's by grace. So we're made that way. We're not acting a certain behavior to become that way. We are already righteous, just like we're already sons of God. We don't do anything to become sons of God. Now we just walk in fellowship to God, to walk in His blessing, and to receive what God, all that God has given us. So we're made that way. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Multiple place here. And then I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there. In Philippians 3:9, Paul says, "And being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus of Christ, the righteousness was of God by faith." It's by believing. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe unto what? Righteousness. God makes us righteous. We're righteous. That's it. We can approach God. God loves us. God's for us. We got to keep that in our mind. Now, once you're righteousness, of course we know we don't automatically think that way, right? It's called, like, we have to put what we are in our minds. And it says in, you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 4:24, "And put on the new man which after God is created in" what? "Righteousness and true holiness." So we put it on. That new creation which God created, He's telling you, you're righteous and these are characteristics. Here's what you are, here's what you have, here are your privilege, rights, abilities, your authority, and you put it on, like Christ had to do. He knew the Father, He knew the will. And then when we do that, look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Well, we're in Corinthians right there, we're close. Another familiar verse, but in this context, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." See, when the righteousness of, when we understand the righteousness of God is the driving force behind our believing. Because if we believe, if we know we're righteous, what God's told us and what we have, that's the force that we can walk out like Christ did. And when he walked with Lazarus, you know, he knew who he was and he acted on it. And that was his driving force, just to withstand all that other garbage, all the negatives. And same with us. When we know who we are in Christ, we're not going to be afraid to approach God. We're not going to be fearful, having inferiority, right? We're going to believe what God said. We're righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're made that way. We're holy without blame. We're accepted and all other stuff. But it's getting it to the mind and translating it, and then it translates to our hearts to where we can believe it at some point and stand on it. So look at, I'll just read these. It's some of the effects of characteristics of righteousness. Said, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. Psalm 64:10. So the righteous shall be glad and trust in him, and the upright of heart shall glory. We just thank God and we're glorious because of what he's done. When we believe what he's done for us, we know and believe it. Just naturally, just going to be blessed. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their ear, to their cry. We saw that in John where Jesus said, thou always hears me. Always, always. He was righteous. We are made the righteous of God. We pray according to his word. Same thing. And in Ephesians 3:12, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now let's turn to Romans 8. We're getting down there now. The home stretch here. And the word, as we read and believe the word, that's where we get assurance from God of who we are, what we have, right? That's, we don't get it from anywhere. You're not going to get it from, you know, CNN and, you know, and anywhere else, you know, the world. They're not going to say, yeah, you're righteous, you're holy, you're babbling, yeah, you know, keep on going, God's for you, you know, who could be against you? No, you don't get that too much. So let's see some of this word that we're supposed to put in our mind. And assures us that he gives us that confidence that, hey, God is for it. How many times through the word that God's reinforcing that? We hear it in the manifestations all the time, you know. So let's read a couple verses here. 8:28 of Romans. And we know. And you always ask, well, how do you know? We know by believing, it says in the word of God. God says it and we just believe it. There's no like squeezing, pacing the floor. Oh, I got to believe this. Just say, I believe it, even if you don't feel like it. It doesn't say what you feel like. It says, believe it. That's all. So it says, and we know that all things work together for good to who? Them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many, many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. Them whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he glorified. This is what God did, all this stuff. Then it says, verse 31. So what shall we say to you? If God be for us, who can be against us? See, that has to be ringing in our hearts in every situation. Who can be against us? What situation, circumstance can really be against us? The God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, our Father is for us. We're the righteousness of God, so who can be against us? Basically nobody, right? And verse 32, and he goes on to read, gives you more information. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? That's another question we have to ask. How shall we not? How shall we not provide your need if you need a job, you need finances, you need anything, healing? How shall we not? We got to get to that point where it's unquestionable. When we read the word of God, we just stand on and it's going to happen. It's going to be the way God says it, no matter what I feel or see or whatever, what the neighbors say and the townspeople. So that's builds confidence, right? When you read this stuff, hopefully, it will build some confidence. If not, read it again. And you read it out loud. That's what I do. I read it out loud because it makes a bigger impact. And you read it with the emphasis because it says, what shall we say? If God be, that's how it's emphasized. It's a figure of speech here, right? Figure of speech there. And then goes on, who shall lay anything to charge against? God justifies us. We're righteous. You know, and then goes on, we're more than conquerors through him. He loves us. So just look at that whole chapter, man. So, like, what's the message? I'm for you. Who can be against you? Nobody. So when I pray, thank you, God. I know you're taking care of it. I'm not worrying about, you don't have to pray for 12 hours, right? That's all you have to do. Jesus Christ didn't sit here and, oh, Lazarus, what am I going to do about him? You know, no, he just said, he walked with God. He knew what the Word of God said, and he just went out on it. And God always heard him, and he just believed it, and he spoke it. He didn't stop and say, now, if he doesn't come out of that tomb, it's going to, I got the crowd here, you know. No, because a righteous man, that's not a righteous consciousness, you know, right? That's a sin consciousness. If this don't happen, you know, that's doubt, right? His heart was fixed, trusting in the Lord. So we're gonna end in these in 1 John and Hebrews. 1 John 5:14. 1 John. And you know, 1 John is basically, and you see in 1 John, don't turn there, but 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God?" Now, and it says a bunch of other things in here. About walking with God and walking in love, and then God loves us, and we all love one another. So then, we'll start at verse 16, go to verse, chapter 4, verse 16 first, then we'll go to 5. This is the key point, too. Jesus Christ said that he knew the Father loved him, right? So, and 4:16 says, "We have known and believe the love that God hath to us." That's the real key to everything. If we really know and believe that God loves us, everything else is, he's going to do anything for you according to his word. And there's no doubt. There's no worry about it. You're not going under mental pressure here. So then you go to chapter 5 and verse, let's go 14. It says, "And this is the confidence." This is the confidence that we have in him. It's not in our believing. It's not in us. It's in him. We got to remember that. Sometimes you get twisted up. We say, it's my believing. No, it's a confidence in him. Can he do it? Yes. Look at, like, Abraham. Fully persuaded what God promised, he was able. He persuaded that God promised it and God was able. He wasn't persuaded that he can believe that God promised it. His confidence was in God, like Jesus Christ was. So, and this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we know he hears us if we ask according to his will. Point one, right? Then we know he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we might have, potentially receive. No, we possess the petitions that we desire. So if we know that he hears us, we know we have. And we know he hears us because we ask according to his will. It's really laid out pretty simple. He's trying to reiterate it here. So once we know all that, so we have confidence to God, we read that if God be for us, who can be against us? There's nothing he won't do for us. And we'll end up in Hebrews. Then we go, and we have to go to the throne. Because this is where a lot of times people miss it when they go to Hebrews 4:16. You see, come before God, and you're not confident. Well, it doesn't say come beggarly before the throne. It doesn't say come with doubts or worries or fears. It says, let us therefore come boldly. Boldly is confident, with confidence unto the throne of grace. We have confidence because of what God says he did for us, what he will do for us, and what he has done for us. So that's how we put it in our minds before we come in prayer, or else the prayer ain't going nowhere. You can't, he says, you know, if you don't believe, you didn't even receive. It's not, it's going to be a miss, right? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain. It's not that we potentially might get something. No, we may obtain mercy and help, find help, grace, and find help in time of need. So we come with that confidence that Jesus Christ came. He had a situation. Father always hears me. I'm a righteous person. God's made me righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for taking care of the situation. That's it. Not, please help me. And, you know, now that may be something else you need to work out before you come boldly. It's like to get in the Word, get the mind thinking straight, and get built up with the word, then go and petition God, because then you'll have your mind and your heart in the right place, you know, to receive. And so that's a little bit in the righteousness of God. Amen.
Yeah. Good job.